Rabban Gamliel Yomer, Rabban Gamliel used to say, Kosher Amar Shoshat V'Yomer Pepes Lo Yitzai Dei Chobeto, whoever did not say the following few things on Pesach, did not fulfill his duty of Magid, and they are Beduhin, Pesach, Matzah, Umaro. So Pesach, we look at our shank bone. You guys see the roasted shank bone here. We don't point to it because we don't want people to think we have an actual Paschal offering. We just look at the shank bone. Why do we eat the Paschal offering in the days of the temple? Because Hashem, what does the word Pasach mean? Either passed over or had mercy over our forefathers' houses in Egypt. Shnemaos, the verse says, V'amartem, you will declare, Zevach Pesach ul Hashem, this is a Paschal offering in honor of Hashem, Asher Pasach al Betei B'nei Yisrael B'mitzrayim Nekpo Mitzrayim V'Beteinu Hitzil, as Hashem punished the Egyptians, He saved our home. You remember we explained, why did Hashem have to save our home? Because technically our homes also deserve the punishment. Our firstborn were also one of the gods of Egypt. Vaikodam Eishachvu, and the nation bowed when they heard this news. Matzazu. We lift the broken matzah. Shianu achelim. This matzah that we're going to eat, al shuma. Now, gentlemen. Seichel. Yes? Let's use our intellect for a minute. What we're about to say is the main message of Magid. So what I do in my house at the Seder is I skip to this. I begin the Seder, I call the little kids, and I say, tell me, what do I have here? Why do we have a roasted shank bone here? So the kid says, it's corresponding to the Pesach offering. And I say, what's special about the Pesach offering? And the kid says, well, we bring it on Pesach. I say, good, but what's the idea behind it? And then I start telling them, I say, look, the Jews used to worship that sheep, right? And here, Hashem's telling them, I want you to take it and tie it to your bed. So what happens? They go to sleep at night, and the sheep comes and starts licking their feet. And they go, shoo, Flossie, shoo, right? Suddenly they talk to the sheep differently because the sheep is in their bedroom. What happens? The little boy comes and starts pulling at its tail. His brother starts jumping on its back. Suddenly you look at the sheep. Oh, it's just the sheep. But it took a lot of courage. Now, it also took a lot of courage because they didn't know if there'd be a pogrom. And remember, they saw a different side of the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm telling you what I'm not telling the kids. Because in the previous plague, 8 million Jews died. And Hashem didn't warn them in advance that 8 million Jews are going to die. So now Hashem says, Mishcho, pull back from worshipping that sheep and pull him to your bedside and tie him there. Because you're going to sacrifice him on Thursday. So comes Shabbos, all the Jews take their day off, right? Shabbos, they were given the day off. And they pull the sheep. They were endangering their day off by doing that. They tie him to the bedpost, and every day they're going to check it for an offering. Comes the day of Pesach. They slaughter the animal that they worshipped their whole lives now, or much of their lives now. And no one told them that there wouldn't be a pogrom, right? So what would you think they'd want to do? Quick, cover up the blood. Quick, skin the animal. Let's throw it into a pot. We'll cook it. No one has to know. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, no, take the blood and put a big sign outside your door so everyone sees your doorpost is dripping with blood. And then, I want you to roast it. Take it whole so you can't hide the evidence. They would put a spoke through the mouth coming out of the backside and roast it whole. It's standing there all... On the night that the Egyptians believe and that the Jews used to believe also is the most powerful night, they're roasting it. All of Egypt smells this great barbecue. And the Jews did it. And they did it when they were weak because they had all just circumcised. So here Hashem is saying, slice off a very sensitive piece of skin. They're all still bleeding. As they're doing their Paschal offering, it says many of the men were bleeding at that time. They hadn't yet healed from their circumcisions. And they're doing something that endangers themselves. And Hashem says, everyone sits in your own home. You don't get together and form an armed unit. You get in a small group and cluster. No leaving the house. They're sitting in their homes, getting ready to leave. The Egyptians, of course, they know that the Jews are planning an escape. Right? They couldn't hide this from the Egyptians. 2 million Jews are planning to leave tomorrow morning. And the Egyptians are going to sit back quietly? The Jews are roasting their God whole. Any Jewish home you'd look into, you see the roast. It's a whole sheep. And the Egyptians are going to sit back quietly. And we're not allowed to get together and defend ourselves. So this took great courage. So I tell the kids this story when we start the Seder. Remember, we're supposed to say, Pesach, Matzah, Maror. Explain the three things. So I don't have a guarantee that the little ones are going to be with me by the end of the Seder. So when I begin the Seder, I say to the kids, explain to me, why do we have this roasted shank bone here? What's the Pesach offering all about? I tell them the whole story of the roast I just told you. I tell the kids, I know we're going to discuss it in the Manishtana, but tell me, why are we eating matzah tonight? Why are we eating matzah? So we do the whole thing that Rabbi Gamliel is going to do here. I do it at the very beginning of the Seder with the little ones to make sure they understand. Yeah, we were running out of Egypt. And when you run, so you don't have time for it to let the dough rise. And then, yeah, the dough became like this. And then I say, explain to me, what is matzah? So they tell me matzah is dough that wasn't allowed to rise for 18 minutes. And I say, really? So the Jews, all the Jewish people left Egypt in under 18 minutes? How'd they do that? 2 million people in under 18 minutes. Gentlemen, you have an answer for me?
Why or how?
How did it happen? How did they get matzah? They did it in under 18 minutes.
They got pushed out. Hashem Ales forced
them. I'm listening. Yeah, so first I'll tell you a beautiful medrash I heard as a child. I haven't seen it inside yet, but I heard it as a child. The medrash says that the Egyptians were shooting arrows at them. And the arrows kept hitting the matzah. They'd have matzah on their back, and that's what kept knocking down the matzah. Okay, so that's a nice midrash. But matzah needs 18 minutes when you're not working the dough. But if the dough is kept cool, or the dough is constantly being pounded from the bump of the ride, it's constantly on the move, so then the dough doesn't rise. You can keep pounding down the dough, and then according to the Mishnah, you could go all day like that. If you put dough in the fridge, it won't rise. You put it in cold water, the Mishnah says. Or you keep kneading the dough. So the Jews were on the run. And the matzah's bouncing up and down as they run. So yeah, the matzah didn't rise. So they had matzah. So this I explained to the kids at the beginning of the Seder. Pesach matzah. And then I tell them, ooh, this is delicious maror here. You want a bite? So the kids have been in the house. And our maror here this year was bland. Usually, the maror gives off such a sharp odor, you can't stay in the room without crying. This year, it was very bland. I don't know why. Whatever. So I tell the kids, come, you want a bite? And the kids go, no, how about it? It's terrible. And I say, okay, right, why? Why are we eating maror? And then I speak to them about how bitter it was in Egypt and how hard it was in Egypt. One of our guests once said, you know, it's like going to the Holocaust Museum, coming to our Seder. You know, because I tell them, I tell them, I make the story meaningful. You know, you tell stories about kids waking up in the morning and Abba and Ima are not there. And suddenly the wicked Egyptian comes in with a whip and says, where's your father? Where's your father? Okay, so depending on the children's age, you can make the story alive. You don't want to scare the kid. You don't want them to have nightmares. You got to figure out each child what they have to hear. But that's how I start the Seder. What we're reading now, I have to make sure that the little ones here at the onset of the Seder. So, okay.
I have a question.
I have many. Yes.
Do we stop Brit Mila ourselves, or do the Egyptians outlaw it? You said that all the men perform circumcision of themselves.
I think it says we stopped ourselves, but I'm not sure. I have to look it up. Maror zeh. Traditionally, we leave a whole piece of maror to lift, and we say, this maror that we're about to eat, al shuma, why? Al shum shmeru ha-mitzrim t'chayavoten b'mitzrayim, because the Egyptians embittered our forefathers' lives in Egypt. Shnemals, the verse says, they embittered their lives with difficult work, with mortar, as we described, that the mortar is very, very painful and difficult, and making bricks, and all kinds of weird work in the field. They would make women do men's work. They would make men run out and catch wild animals. They would do everything they could to break them. All the services and hard work they'd make them do. When the Jew would finish his work in the field, the Egyptian would say, you done your quota for the day? The Jew would say, yeah. And he's ready to fall on the ground. And the Egyptian say, "What? Well, now come mow my lawn. Now come do my laundry." That's all the work on top of all the work in the field. In every generation, chayav adam lirot et atzmo, kilu yatza mimitzrayim. A person has to envision themselves as though they left Egypt. And here the Sfardim have a different word. Instead of lirot, they say leharot. They have to show themselves as though they left Egypt. And that's why the Sfardim get dressed up, and they have this whole act. A guy comes knocking on the door. We do this in our house sometimes. So one of the kids answers. One of the kids knocks on the door, and another kid asks, "Who's there?" And the man says, "It's me, Israel." And the kid says, "Where are you coming from?" And the kid at the door says, "I'm coming from Egypt. I am Israel. I'm the Jewish people. I just left Egypt." And then they have a to and fro about what happened, how he left. And that's a Sephardi custom, that they do this whole act. So b'chol dor v'dor chayav adam lirot et atzmo, leharot et atzmo, to show himself. Kilu hu yetzah mitzrayim, though he himself left Mitzrayim. Shneimar, as the verse says, v'igatav mincha b'yom urimo, you tell your kid on that day saying the following, v'avu zeh asah Hashem li, you tell your kid, this is what Hashem did to me. That's what I told you. I tell the kids, Pharaoh was a bad man, he hit Abba. You remember I told you that in the beginning of the Seder? I tell the kids how I suffered at the Egyptians' end. That's because I'm fulfilling this, what we're reading now at the end. When I left Egypt, Hashem didn't only redeem our forefathers, but he redeemed us with them as well. Shneimar, the verse says, Hashem took us out of there to bring us, to give us the land that he promised our forefathers. And now, we're concluding the Maggid with the song of Hallel, the beginning of Hallel, and a blessing. So we are going to lift the cup in honor of the Hallel. We're going to conclude the song of Hallel with a raised glass. If we're going to honor the grape juice, so we cover the bread, we cover the matzah. So we place our beautiful embroidered tablecloth over the matzah. I say that so that you will have a beautiful embroidered tablecloth. I'm using a paper towel, but you need to have a nice, get nice things towel for the Seder. Not a nice paper towel. Get a nice embroidered cover for your matzah. We hold up our gorgeous silver goblet with that's filled with luscious grape juice. If all year long we are modest on the Seder night, we intend to show that we are now free men. So we do take out our good silver, which is polished and shined by us, the men. Don't impose hard labor on your wives. And we do dress nicely, and on the Seder night, here we are supposed to show our free men. Okay, we're concluding with the song of Hallel, which our sages say was first sung by the Jews who left Egypt. The Jews left Egypt, so they said, Hallelujah of the Hashem, praise you, they said to one another. We now merit to be servants of Hashem. We are no longer servants of Pharaoh, we're servants of Hashem. Okay. Because of what we just read, you gentlemen are invited to read together with me. Lehodot, to give thanks. Lalel, to give praise. Leshabeach, to pay tribute. Lefa'er, to glorify. Leromem, to exalt. Lehader, to honor. Levarech, to bless. Lale, to extol. Lekales, to acclaim. Lemishas alavoteinu velanu. To Hashem who did to our forefathers and to us et kol anisim ha'elu, all these miracles. Hotzianu me'avdut l'cheirut, he took us out of servitude to freedom. Mi'agon, from affliction, l'simchat, to happiness. U'me'evel, and from mourning, li'yom tov, to this holiday. U'me'afelan, from darkness, lo gadol, to great light. U'me'shibud, and from servitude, li'gulat, to redemption. V'nomal fanav shira chadashan. So now we will sing before him a new song. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise Hashem, hallelujah of the Hashem, praise that now you are servants of Hashem and no longer servants of Pharaoh. Hallelujah, Shem Hashem, praise the name of Hashem. The name of Hashem is that which Hashem is known by. In other words, we are known by our name, Hashem is known by his actions. Now that we've seen Hashem's actions, that is the name of Hashem, what Hashem is known by. Yishem Hashem Yivrach Matav Ad Olam. May Hashem's name be blessed from now forever. Mimizrach Shem Shad Mivo Mulal Shem Hashem. From sunrise to sunset, Hashem's name is blessed. Ramal Kol Goyim Hashem. Even though nations might not recognize it, Hashem is above all the nations. Al Hashamayim Kivodo. His glory is above the heavens. Mik Hashem Mi kadonai Eloheinu amagbihil ha-shavet. Who is like Hashem our God, who sits above all, ha-mashpili lirot b'shmaim uva'aretz. And even though he's so high, he looks down. And that is the great message of this night, that Hashem is connected to humanity. One of the messages, and I reiterate this throughout the story of the Haggadah, one of the messages of the night that we tell our children. From the story of Mitzrayim, we learn that Hashem controls the world, that Hashem cares what happens in the world, that Hashem has actions that He hates, and He will punish those who behave that way, as He did the Egyptians, that Hashem has a chosen people. These are eternal themes. These are the pivotal concepts of Judaism. And these are concepts that we must give over on this night to our children. You don't have to sit down and say, "Son, let me tell you what Judaism is all about." No. As you tell the story, you incorporate these themes in the story. So Hashem is mashpili lirot b'shmayim uva'aretz. Although Hashem is so great, He does come down and look at the heaven and the earth. He's on top of what's going on down here. Mekimim me'avadal me'ashpot yarim evion lehoshivim nedivim heim nedivei amo moshiv yaker et habayit em habanim semecha leloya. So just as Hashem took care of the Jewish people and took them from their lowly state and raised them, so too Hashem takes the poor from the dust and sits him up with the philanthropists. Hashem takes a woman who is akeret abayit. She's a barren wife who's at home and she has nothing to do but take care of the house. And He creates from her Eima banim smecha, the mother of children who is happy. Hallelujah. Betzet Yisrael mim Mitzrayim, Beit Yaakov me'am lo'ez, Hayta Yehuda lekacho Yisrael mamshelotav, Hayam rav hayanos, Hayaden yisov le'acho, He'arim akedochenim gevat kimnei tzon. So we're describing how all of nature partook of the redemption. When Israel left Egypt, so Yehuda, the tribe of Judea, was the sanctity of Hashem's name. Everyone was big talkers. We're standing there at the edge of the Yam Suf. And everyone was talking, "I'm going to go in first. I'm going to go in first." And Yehuda charged. There was once a man raising funds for a yeshiva they were building. And he went to one donor and he said, "I'd like you to donate to the yeshiva we're trying to build." And the donor says, "When you have a yeshiva and you have students and you have a building, come back to me for funds." So the fundraiser was very smart. He said to him, "Tell me, sir, who was the second person to enter the Yam Suf?" So the man looks at him and says, "Gee, I don't know." So he says to him, "Right, no one does." The first person, the one who says, "I'm going to go, I'm going to forge, I'm going to go through." Everyone knows Nachshon ben Aminadav. Hayta Yehuda lekodesho, Judea sanctified Hashem's name. They charge. No one knows who was the second tribe. Everyone knows who led the way. Yisrael mamshelotav. Am Yisrael was His dominion. We showed that Hashem rules over us. Hayam Rav Hayanos. You see how nature flowed with the miracles of Hashem. The sea saw us coming and fled. Hayarden Yisov Lecho. Even the Jordan turned back. He'arim rakdu cheinim gevaot kivnei tzon. Malechayam kitanos hayarden tisav lecho. He'arim tirkedu cheilim gevaot kivnei tzon. Min lifnei adon choli haaretz, min lifnei Eloh Yaakov, ve'chi hatzu agamayim chalamishne mayenomayim. So the mountains danced, the hilltops danced. Why do you flee the sea and the Jordan? Why do you dance, you mountains? Ah, we dance from the master of everything. He is the God of Jacob. We Hashem has shown the world that he is the master of everything by taking control of nature and changing it in honor of Israel, just as he changed a rock into a stream of water for his people. So if Hashem wants the Jews to pass through, they will pass through. I get out of the way, says the sea. And with that, we say the concluding blessing of the Magid, which is a blessing over the redemption. Baruch. And we will conclude with the Borei Pre Hagafen. We will lean and drink the second cup. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, blessed be Hashem, our God, the King of the world, asher galanu, who redeemed us. We just spoke about the redemption. Ve'galta avoteinu mimitzrayim. Notice we say how Hashem redeemed us and our forefathers from Egypt. Ve'hagiyanu halayla hazeh l'chol bo matzah u'maror, and brought us on this night to eat matzah and maror. What about the paschal offering? We don't yet merit, but maybe this year we will. So to Hashem should merit us to bring to arrive at future holidays in peace. Rejoicing at the rebuilding of Hashem's city, and jubilant over the service of Hashem. And may we eat from the sacrifices then. And then we'll sing a new song before you over our redemption. Baruch atah Hashem Ga'al Yisrael. Blessed are you Hashem who redeems Israel. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Borei Peri Hagafen. Remember to lean on your left. Okay.
Why can we say two
Can we say another one?
Because each one is its own mitzvah. Now, technically, at this point, we finished the Magid. We're going to wash our hands. And now let's discuss what we do with the Motzi. Let's